Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com.
Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Blue Crystal Storm, and it is the 12th day of the Yellow Star Wave Spell. It's also the 259th day of the Zolk'in, which is a 260-day count. And it is the rhythmic moon, day one. So I'm happy to be preparing you for the imminent end and renewal of the Zolk'in count. This is something that's never synchronized with either January 1st or July 26th, which is the natural time new year or the Mayan new year. And so it always just exists separately and endlessly, and it's not counting 365 days, which is what we call a year, rightfully. A year is an orbit of the Earth around the Sun, 365 days to complete that. The 260-day Zolk'in cycle doesn't have a reference point that's astronomical, although I'm sure it did in origin. I'm just not savvy enough to really have this high-tech scientific analysis of the ancient Mayan culture, but everything they did was based on star movement, and so they must have found a particular star movement cycle in the sky and then accorded it to what was more obviously 260 days, which was the germination of a corn kernel to full harvest of a corn plant. So their most important food staple in that particular longitude latitudinal spot in the Mayan territory in that era, before the different effects of climate change, would have been 260 days. And so it was revered. And then obviously we cite and celebrate this correlation that it's 260 days to gestate in the womb, and that's not an exactitude, because we say it's 9 months in the womb, and that's 270-ish days, but it is so close, and there's that correlation between corn and people that is sort of magnificent and reminds us of the plant spirit in everything, and that in the food chain at the very bottom is always the plant. And so the plant spirit lives in the animals that we eat or anything we make. Sort of the origins are in a plant spirit. So to correlate the plant spirit with the human spirit is sort of a magnificent spiritual approach. And the Zolk'in is that daily reminder of our life beginning at conception, the seeding of ourself, and that life doesn't begin at birth, but rather in the womb, and we spend that time germinating in our own way. So what does that mean? It means that, oh yes, once again, we are more like plant life than we recognize, but as important that there is this life that happens internally in relationship deeply with the feminine construct of nurturance and shelter, which is the womb and the relationship to our mothers that happens during gestation. And so it is a tipping point, right, to study this spirituality away from patriarchal religion or any of the paternalistic pictures that come out of the ancient world where, you know, there's Zeus as the king of all gods and, you know, other archetypal rulings that the sun is a male and that women are diminutive or partnered with the grandeur, you know, that they're sort of the queen concept, but that's always a slight lesser status. But there's no status in Mayan spirituality. There's just the obvious redetermination of the origin point of life being within the mother, and it were conceived with equal like acts of ardor and participation by our father and mother in sexuality. But then things are turned over for this grand bonding and enclosure and point of deep contact connection with maternal forces. And that's when life is first developed. And when we are born / take our first breath in an oxygenated world and meet our fathers directly and participate more directly in a world that is not just intense bonding with our mothers, you know, that's the schism in a way, metaphorically, is if we really just count our lives as beginning at that point, then we've denied what happens before. And so the Dzogchen is a constant, and I mean that, it's a daily reminder that there's this other way of determining life experience that's 260 days long. So it's rebuilding that bridge to our time in that place of quietude and shelter, protection, darkness, unconsciousness, water, mother. And so if we follow it for long enough, or maybe it happens immediately for you, then we develop all that range of sensation and experience and memory and perception. The perception of life through a watery veil is another either factual or metaphorical vision of being alive to your unconscious, your subconscious state, which is surrealism, which is the dream time, which is where magic and synchronicity can be understood as sparked for us. Because that's the whole point in terms of a jubilation of following the Mayan teachings or the Dzogchen specifically, is to see patterns that make us feel that life is both meaningful and magical, just wild, you know, like trippy. That's the incentive. It's a physicalized meaning, like it's alive to our mental state. Our bodies react to magic, and, you know, why wouldn't we want that once we've tried it? I think it's pretty healthy. I don't feel like there's any downside to that up, you know, like in terms of comparing it to hallucinogens, that you don't have to come back to reality when you follow the Dzogchen, because the next day is just another surrealistic opportunity to embrace life through these different perceptions, so you never have to leave it. And it can be hard. Like, I can speak to my own recent experience. I've been so busy, not really right now with this, but, you know, I had to move and you know, sell a home and buy a home and all that. I was very plunged into so-called everyday reality in a way that is not my expertise, not comfortable, not even very safe, but necessary sometimes. And I didn't have as much time to be immersed in my unconscious experience of life. And not only did I get really strung out and unhappy, sort of desperately so at one point, but I also just, you know, wasn't engaged with the calendar in the same way. Just sort of, it doesn't ever disappear for me, but it wasn't, you know, first thought, best thought in a waking day. So here we are. I've made a moment where I can be on the microphone, and that makes me happy. If you understood how continually busy I am and will be for moons and moons, this whole blue lunar storm year as it continues, I think I do feel that from people. Like, this is not a walk in the park for me to get a podcast online, but it always feels amazing when I finally find the moment that I can. But I'm trying to hit a rhythm again because I'm not actively moving. I'm actively renovating, and that will go on for a while. So the rhythm, as we start this rhythmic moon, will hopefully get back to Sundays and Wednesdays, California time, although I'm always a little flaky or unpredictable as to what part of a Sunday or Wednesday, or would it be actually Tuesday for somebody somewhere. But let's organize our thoughts around this transit. That was the treatise on why the Zolk'in matters. I'm glad that you feel it does, because you probably wouldn't tune in here if it weren't already in your consciousness that it's important. I don't know. Like, here's some drama. Like, I don't know anything more important about my life so far. Certainly human relationships, especially with my children, mean, you know, like they make a lifetime. But in terms of value, of what I can commit a certain amount of time and structure in my life towards and get a return that is both exponential and, you know, existential, like just recreates life in a different perceptive form and upends a lot of the imprisoning thoughts that I've had and many hold as humans. I don't think there's anything better than the Zolk'in. And that is amazing. I'm evangelizing. I don't feel naive saying that. I don't feel manipulative. Like, this is not a cult. This is not an attempt to seduce anyone. It's conviction that comes after, I guess, 21 years soon of everyday structured contemplation of particularly the Zolk'in count. So don't give up. Don't miss out. Deepen your practice. And how would you do that? I used to make calendars. I wish that I still did. They're hard to make because they are ephemeral. They don't stay relevant. But if you can follow the calendar through your app or online, or you have one of the physicalized calendars that is made, the point is to just know every day as many nuances about the day as you can to increase your awareness of what each Zolk'in day presents. So let me kind of like diagram what that would be. You would know that the color of the day and that indicates a direction. So we'll start with today, because it's a blue storm day and it's a blue storm year. So that already is interesting, and I'll explain why in a moment. But just to know that a blue day is in the west, that we count east, north, west, south in that order, and it's red, white, blue, yellow, correlating with those directions in that order. And so we're in the west, and a western day can be quicker, deeper, more emotional. There's an alchemy that happens. And, you know, I wouldn't make that the most pivotal part of the day, but it's a beginning point, because there are four colors, and so we revisit the colors the most frequently. Every 4 days we rotate through the colors and we repeat, so you'll see the colors coming up, so you should know innately what that means for you, what that means as an opportunity when you wake up into a blue day. And that blue is associated with emotions, with feelings, with the fluidity of our feelings, the changing nature of our feelings. It is the stormiest part of our self, our feeling state. And then the tone is always the second word, and it is simply a, you know, like an oral tradition experience of numerology. So the Maya, we're invested in the count of 13, They were also invested in the count of four, which is described by the four directions or colors, so you know that now. And then 13 is a prominent, I mean, it is, it's pivotal. It's absolutely the center point, the count of 13. And we count it through these anglicized words that are adaptations or interpretations of Mayan words. And I never really go into the Mayan part of things, partly because I am not Mayan, and it's been my one lesson on appropriation is to just stick with what got anglicized, what was presented through a Mexican-American man. So he was the bridge, Jose Arguelles. He was the one with the DNA tracing back, as well as the sound box and intent of bringing it to the so-called West or North and sharing it with every man. So I am pretty traditionalist in his teaching, and not because I ever met him or found him to be like the perfect teacher for me. He was my mother's teacher. He was a lot of people's teacher. He wasn't mine directly, but his concepts certainly are the ones that are the foundation of everything I share. So it's like granddaughtered in here. The 13 tones are counting 1 through 13, magnetic, lunar, electric, self-existing, overtone, rhythmic, resonant, galactic, solar, planetary, spectral, crystal, and cosmic. Those are our words. We move through them every day, and you will find other ways, including listening here, to have an aptitude for understanding what each of these 13 tones indicates. They're all connected because they form a wave, but they also can stand individually just as expressions, as feeling states, as actions to take, as in intent, as a point of fluid awakening and growth. So the one way that we can corroborate moving through the 13 moon year and the 13 days of a wave spell is to really use the moon that we enter every 28 days in our 13 moon year to become experts at a particular tone. So for instance, today is the first day of the rhythmic moon, which is 28 days celebrating the rhythmic tone. And again, by the end of it, you should have not just like, oh, knowledge base, listen to the podcast, read the notes, reading different literature, but no, you know about the rhythmic tone because you've been in it. You've been in it. We just completed the overtone moon yesterday. If you have consciousness, and that just means you have a practice and you're, you know, able in your lifestyle to pay attention to what you're experiencing each day, and especially as the years go by and you move through the 13 moons repeatedly, you circle back and you have a overtone moon every November, you start to really get the feel for it seasonally. You know, the Mayan seasonal experience of overtone is like, well, it's a pretty active blast off moment. And then now turning towards the rhythmic tone, it's always the holiday season. It's always this bend towards Christmas and New Year's, and it is all of that. It is just everyone organizing themselves towards one purpose. And I'll speak to that in a moment. But the rhythmic tone can become something that your rhythmic moon experience allows you a quick insight. Like, oh, it's the rhythmic day. That's a day of being really organized and getting in rhythm. Follows the overtone day where I have this surge of power, this kind of radiant, streaming, you know, force took over, and I felt like I could really take off. Oh, the rhythmic day follows that and kind of meets out all that energy into something that's a sustaining rhythm because we're building in altitude. That's the point of a wave spell, whether it's 13 moons, 13 days, 13 years, is that we're gaining altitude until we reach the peak, and then the wave folds back on itself and falls to earth. Okay, so those are you know, in a day, that was my point, in a waking day, you can say, oh, it's a blue day and it's a crystal day. Today's a crystal day. It's the 12th day of 13, the 12th tone. Crystal is the tone of gathering and universalizing our experience and being in the collective after an individuated journey that is necessary for us to be heroes in our own lives, is that we spend time on our own facing our own challenges, but then we come back together in the crystal tone, having completed our journey. It's a time of resolving our own experience of growth, and a resolution in that story includes being together. So finally, then, I mean, I guess the frequency again is that every 4 days we go through four colors, every 13 days we go through 13 tones, every 20 days we go through the 20 tribes. So you will recognize the last word, the noun, is one of 20 archetypes or totems that were important to the Maya, that are important to us. And by following what was important to them, we get transported both in time to an indigenous perception of what is important in life, and we get transported to the Mayan lineage within the indigenous world, which is a mecca of magic because of their particular slant and observation of the stars and investment in certain icons. Then we just get to time travel because our orientation is matched up, syncopated with theirs. And that's where I think the really pseudo-hallucinogenic practice of being connected to the Maya matters the most. It's fantastic, right? So the 20 tribes move through. Again, they're always colored. It's always a blue storm. Tomorrow will be a yellow sun. Yesterday was white mirror. The day before was red earth. There you go. Red, white, blue, yellow. So they still stand on their own as concepts. Storm day celebrates the storm in the sky, the storm that commutes, dense, overcast. You know, the gathering of the storm happens before the storm. That would be on a white mirror day, perhaps. And then the storm is the upheaval, the cataclysm that happens where everything is transmuted from being dense, overcast, obscuring, distancing us from the sun through this field of water in the sky, the evaporated ocean that lives suddenly in the sky, which is magical. Then the storm turns that into live action, a cacophony, water molecules like chafing, exploding, and making sound, making a light show, making fire in the sky, and rain. And then the rain falls, and that means the cloud layer falls. All that dense water molecule activity is released back to Earth, and we see the sun again. And so the storm is one of the most dynamic days of the 20 tribes because it is the movement and the release from when we can't see, when we're lost in the fog, when we feel, you know, our brain is thick and heavy, our thoughts are slow. We don't know where enlightenment is. We've lost our God. Those are some moods that can happen on a white mirror day. Then the storm is all action and excitement, honestly. A lot of us love change. For some, it's threatening. I don't know that one's better than the other. It's more of a temperamental response. And then yellow sun. That's a more live, direct, warm experience of being wide awake to enlightenment. And I guess I'm just walking you through this really at a slow pace because this is how slow I want you to go through the end of the Dzogchen, which is today and tomorrow. Like, I advertise slowness through the days all the time. That's my point. Live a lifestyle where you can carve out not just like a moment at the beginning of the day to go, oh, it's a blue crystal storm day. Oh, that's right. I remember storm days are intense. But, you know, you're thinking about it being a blue crystal or a blue storm day at many points in your day. That's the lifestyle I'm selling here. It has a lot of openness and free time for checking in with your experience. But at best or most, we have to make sure that we feel the big change from the end of the Zolk'in to the renewal, because it is our new year. It's just not a year. It's our new Zolk'in. It's 260 days. It's our new gestation. It's our new conception, you know, that happens at the beginning, and the fulfillment, the baby comes at the end, and we're at the end. So you have a baby, you know, something you grew that started 260 days ago. And I keep missing the exact day. I have no internet where I live, which is thrilling. But I mean, I think it was around March 28th that we began our Zolk'in. It could have been the 29th or 30th, but it was last March at the end, in the sort of midst of the pandemic really descending and taking hold and quarantining beginning, at least where I lived. And now here we are 260 days later. And, you know, what is the quote unquote baby that began in that moment? Mine is so obvious, but I can't make you listen to my personal story. You have to correlate your personal story. That's what interests me right now, because I know my own. What started for you at the end of March that is now fulfilled? And at the same time, something is starting right now. What are you starting right now? That's why we're slowing down and walking through these last days in detail, because something is about to start for you in the new Zolk'in, in the red dragon wave spell that begins the Zolk'in. It is the reverence point, the experience of this mother that I talk about, that where we spend our gestation. We begin the Zolk'in with 13 days of celebrating Red Dragon, the primordial mother, the place of being in utero, and the beginning of creation. And in that time, we are both birthing something, because we are in our mother selves, and we are also taking something into our womb that will be birthed. So you want to be watchful for that as well. And just reverent. It's a playful party moment to start the Zolk'in. Just as we attempt to start the new year in January, it's super meaningful to be alive and awake to beginnings and endings. So we're in the ending. The way that the Zolk'in ends is in a portal day. Yellow cosmic sun is the 13th of 13. It's the 20th of 20. It's the 4th of 4. So it is the ending in each of these counts that I presented today. And so it's sacred. It's joining with the sun. It's becoming present with the sun. And that is where the source of life, you know, beyond humanity and gender roles and assigned parenting and matriarchy and patriarchy, is just life itself, and that comes from the sun. So we celebrate being alive, being a ray of light, you know, that we're really just, if we're children of the sun, then we are just, you know, these droplets of radiant light, and that would perhaps be the soul inside every physical manifestation. And all of that, you know, blasts off tomorrow in this final coalescing moment of self with God, and then into the darkness and wetness of the womb. But both yellow cosmic sun and the first day, which is the first of everything, it's day one of four, day one of 13, day one of 20, red magnetic dragon, also a portal day. So you have two portal days to experience. That would be Monday and Tuesday of whatever month this is. I know it's December. I don't know the dates. And then it's not new Zolk'in. It's just Zolk'in. You know, we get newness for the first few days for sure, and then maybe through the whole wave spell. And then it's just new Zolk'in you know, average, but right now is New Zolkin heightened, and don't miss it. Don't miss out. I think that the COVID response pandemic experience can be described as boring or deadening or limited. And perhaps that is also, maybe it isn't your experience, maybe it isn't mine, just because of the amount of upheaval I managed to schedule into it. But this is a way for things to not be any of those, to not be stagnant or static, but in change and flux and celebration. So I wanted to make sure you had the opportunity to feel into that. It's also very rhythmic, the way I presented things. So we'll get into the rhythmic moon again next podcast. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.